The words Ian and Ian by W.B. Screws. The Pilgrim's Messenger. Have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. -11 Timothy 1:13. Published monthly by W.B. Screws, Glenville, Georgia. 25 cents a year. Volume 19. February, 1940. Number 7. Entered at the post office at Glenville, Ga. As second class matter. As a teacher, I have not been very successful in impressing these words on students. While both are English words, they are not in general use. People still ask, what do you mean by Ian and Ian? Well, here is another effort in the direction of making the meaning plain. My attention was recently called to a lexicon which said the root I means eternal. Ionism, in Greek, and Aeonian, is Aeonian. It is not easy to show this, because the Greek has what we might call a double O, which is the long sound, while the single O has the short sound. To be precise, the double O, or long O, is used in both these words, making the former, ion, with the long sound, as in loan, and making the latter word, ionion, with the first O long, and the other short. But does I mean eternal? If it does, then the noun, an, means eternity. Let us see if it could possibly have that meaning. In Matt 12:32, Christ closes a sentence in these words, neither in this nor in that which is future. Would anyone speak of this eternity in that which is future? In If 2:7, we find the phrase, the oncomings. Would anyone speak of the oncoming eternities? The phrase, the ends of the ends, is frequently found. How would it sound to say, the eternities of the eternities? In Matt 24:3, the disciples asked the Lord, what is the sign of thy presence and of the conclusion of the end? Were they asking about the conclusion of the eternity? In Acts 10:11, Paul speaks of the consummations of the ends. Is anyone so foolish as to suppose he had reference to the consummations of the eternities? It is impossible to read the passages noted, and not see that and refers to a period of time. When Christ said, this'n, and that which is future, he clearly implied that this'n will come to an end, and another and will follow. When Paul said, the oncomings, he clearly implied that this'n will come to an end, and another and will follow. When Paul said, the oncomings, he clearly taught that there are to be ends which have not yet had a beginning. The phrase, the ends of the ends, certainly speaks of a plurality of ends. The conclusion of the end, most assuredly means the present and is to have a conclusion. And the discourse of our Lord, which follows, endorses this idea. The consummations of ends certainly shows that more than one end will have a consummation. Early English translators had an inkling of the meaning of the word, a version that was made long before the King James Version, translated the word by were old. This was a combination of were, meaning man, and old, meaning age. To them, an eon was a period of time about the length of a man's life. While they were not correct as to the length of an eon, they certainly did not believe it denotes eternity. This explains why the word is translated world so often in the King James Version. World became the accepted spelling of the old Anglo-Saxon word, world. But it is out of place now, for world has come to mean system, and cosmos is the correct Greek word for this. The King James Version correctly renders cosmos by world and incorrectly renders an by world. The King James translators certainly had no idea of the meaning of in. They translated it, and its adjective form, aeonian, by ever, never, while the world sang earth, course, world, evermore, now, everlasting, age, beginning of the world, end of the world without end, eternal. Comment on these inconsistencies would be unnecessary, were it not for the fact that many people revere the King James Version above God, Himself. To such ones, let me say, The King James Version was not the first English translation. Something like a dozen had been made before 1611, when this version was made, at the command of King James, even with the royal endorsement. The version did not come into general use until 50 years later. Even then it did not satisfy scholars, and the revised version was an attempt to improve on it. Later, the American revision sought to further correct it. Anyone of average intelligence and education can ascertain that an is a segment, or long period, of time. The scriptures show that there are five. In if 2:2, we find the end of this cosmos. Transliteration and into the English, Ian, and translating cosmos into the English, world, the phrase reads, the Ian of this world. This indicates that each Ian has a world. That being so, each world belongs to an Ian. According to 2 Pet. 3, 6, there was a world that was destroyed by water. This is reference to what is mentioned in General 1, 2, the earth becomes waste and barren. That was before Adam. If there was a world, then, there was also an Ian. In 2 Pet. 2, 5, we find that God spared not the world in the days of Noah. So the world, or system that existed from Adam to the flood, was evidently in the second Ian. The third Ian began then, and will have its consummation at the future coming of Christ to establish his kingdom. The fourth Ian will embrace what is usually called the millennium. The fifth will follow the judgment at the white throne. The last two are called the Ians of the Ians. The last one is called the Ian of the Ians, and the Ian of the Ian. Whether or not the reader believes what I have said, he certainly should be able to know that when I say Ian, I mean a long period of time. It is just as easy to find the meaning of N, or Ian, as it is to find what any other word in the scriptures means. Much easier, in fact, than many other words. For its usage shows clearly, that is a segment of time, that it is a beginning, and a consummation, that there was something which took place before the ends, Igor. 2, 7, and that there is to be a conclusion of the ends, Heb. 9:26. An aeon is a long period of time. Having found the meaning of an, or aeon, it is just as easy to know the meaning of the adjective, aeonian, or aeonian, as it is to know the meaning of American, after we learn what America means. An American city is a city in America. The Ionian God, is God in the Ions, Rome. 1626. That he is the eternal God, goes without saying. Otherwise he would not be God at all. But as the Ions are the scenes of sin and death, we are happy to find God's relationship to the Ions. Knowing him to be the Ionian God, we do not fear that he will be unable to manage the Ions. Aeonian life means life in the aeons. Its usage shows that it refers to the life believers shall have between their vivification in Christ's presence and the consummation of the aeons. Let this soak in, if possible. Don't call it eternal life, for the scriptures call it aeonian life. And, please don't think the life will end at the consummation of the aeons. It cannot end, for they have been made immortal. But after the aeons it will not be aeonian life any longer. It will just be life. And don't quibble, and say everybody who lives at any time during the aeons, has aeonian life. We are looking at words as they are used in the scripture. Aeonian life, according to scripture usage, does not refer to the mortal life of any person. It means immortal life that believers shall have in Christ's presence, before the consummation of the aeons. Aeonian chastening, Matt. 25, 46, means chastening in the aeons. Aeonian extermination, to this. 1, 9, means extermination in the aeons. Aeonian fire, Jud 7, means fire in the aeons. Without taking space now, to explain these passages, I expect to do that in a later issue. Suffice it say that none of this will extend beyond the consummation of the aeons, for, consequently, then as it was through one offense for all mankind for condemnation, thus also it is through one just award for all mankind for life's justifying, Rome. 5:18. For even as, in Adam, all are dying, thus also, in Christ, all shall be vivified. Acts 15:22. This is ideal and welcome before God our Saviour, who wills all mankind to be saved and to come into a realization of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator of God and mankind, a man, Christ Jesus, the one giving himself a correspondent ransom for all, Tim 2:3-6. And through him to reconcile the universe to him, making peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether on the earth or in the heavens, Colossians 1:20. If chastening, or extermination, is endless, these passages are absolutely untrue. The King James Version, and every other version that I have ever seen, translates these passages so as to show that God has justification, vivification, salvation and reconciliation for all. True, the King James Version does not use the word vivified in Acts 15:22, but it says all shall be made alive in Christ. And that same version says that to be in Christ is to be beyond condemnation, Romans 8:1. Admit that all are to be made alive in Christ, and then claim that some of them will be condemned and you dispute that passage in Romans. Please keep this paper. The same general theme would probably be discussed in several issues, looking at the matter from every angle. I thank those who keep their subscription paid up. This and that. What a blessed season we have had. During the holidays Mrs. Screws and I were remembered by scores of saints here and elsewhere. Cards and letters of them contained enclosures of money. How I praise God, and thank those dear friends. Sister Pearl Pope, of the Augusta Ecclesia, secured an extra donation as a Christmas present, and gave it to me at the December meeting. Some kind friends in the Glenville area also gave us gifts. A strange fact is, those here, who gave are not regular attendants at our meetings. In fact, some of them do not attend at all. An increasing number who send favors through the mail ask that their names be not mentioned. It has dawned on me that, perhaps, all would prefer to know be mentioned. I am sure that no one gives in order to see it in the paper. I have decided to discontinue mentioning those kind ones in the messenger. Instead, I will endeavor to acknowledge each gift by letter or card. Those favors sent by mail are what enables me to continue in the work. We had a blessed meeting in Savannah the third Sunday in December. This was our first regular meeting. The ecclesia there consists of only a few. I mean that only a small number can be depended on to continue their promotion and support of the meetings. Return to main index page,